Morning, everybody. So today's reading is from Luke 1, starting at verse 39, and the blue Bibles is on page 1026. Luke 1, starting at verse 39, where it's titled, Mary Visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of the Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sounds of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the servant state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Blessed One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Thanks, Gav. Well, please do, if you can, keep that passage open in front of you, in your Bible or on your phone or whatever you're doing. We're going to think about these words for a few minutes. If you've missed us for a couple of weeks, we've been in this first chapter of Luke's Gospel, looking at what happens before the Christmas story, if you like, and seeing what it means for us today. Can you remember receiving such good news that you just had to drop everything and tell somebody? Maybe there were others receiving the same news, and you just had to get together, get with the other members of the team, or get with the family, or whatever it is. Enjoy the moment. You had to celebrate. Have you ever received news that made you burst into song? For lots of us, that would take pretty special news, wouldn't it? We're sort of uptight Brits, some of us, and we don't do that sort of thing. But maybe there are just those once-in-a-lifetime moments, those exceptions where the news really is that good. In this Bible reading, Mary pretty much drops everything to go to Elizabeth to share in the good news that they've both separately been given and they've received. And both of them sing, or at the very least, they praise God for what he's done and for what he's doing. You and I might feel some sense of sharing in their joy this morning. But for many of us, we have become pretty familiar with it, haven't we? December is here, we're in Advent, Christmas is coming, we've heard it all before. That doesn't necessarily mean that we believe it any less. But perhaps we don't feel the way we once did. This is a very busy time of year, let's face it. There are so many distractions. That's what they are, really, aren't they? All the preparations and the gift buying and the parties and the school fairs and all the rest of it. It's all good. It's all fun. But it can certainly crowd out what's most important. It can get in the way of you and me remembering the greatest news the world has ever heard and, you know, reveling in it. So this morning, my aim is a pretty modest one. I'm hoping that by digging into this passage for a few moments, we will remind ourselves and each other that we need to do what Mary and Elizabeth do. We need to do it. We need to praise God for who he is and what he's done. This Christmas, we need to magnify the Lord in our hearts. And that takes a concerted effort with all those distractions, doesn't it? So why don't we pray as we dive into the story? Let me pray. Father, please speak to us by your Holy Spirit and make us listen to you. Please help us to park all the distractions, all the busyness of this time of year, and help us to focus on your goodness, on what you're saying to us today, on your perfect character, and how we might delight in you and magnify you in our lives this Christmas and always. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I say, if you've missed us over the last couple of weeks, we've seen earlier in this chapter the angel Gabriel visit two people. And they tell, and he tells them, you're going to become parents. Both are unexpected. Both are miraculous. The first one is Zechariah. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are very old. They've never been able to conceive. But Elizabeth will give birth to John. And John will prepare the way for Jesus. Now, Mary, second person, she's definitely not old, probably a teenager. She's a virgin. And Gabriel says, yeah, you're going to have a baby too. You will conceive as a virgin, you will give birth to a son, and he will be king over God's people forever, and you're to call him Jesus. Now, the story of Gabriel appearing to Mary, the one we looked at last week, begins and pretty much ends with a word about Elizabeth's pregnancy. You following? So Gabriel's talking to Elizabeth, Gabriel talks to Mary about Elizabeth's pregnancy. So verse 26, we were told it's the sixth month. It's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And then if you look at verse 36, this is Luke 1, verse 36, you'll see Gabriel almost implying that you should go and check it out, Mary. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. You've heard, haven't you, Mary? It's happening. She doesn't say go and check it out, but maybe it's implied. Now, we saw Mary respond very well indeed to God's announcement through his angel, but it's certainly going to be a hard road for her. And so our passage today begins, verse 39, with Mary acting on those words about Elizabeth. At that time, verse 39, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. She didn't hang about. And when she got there, she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. It was perhaps a four-day journey, but she just had to be there. Off she went. Does Elizabeth know that Mary is pregnant? We get the impression there, don't we, that Mary has hardly hung about at all. At the end of the passage, verse 56, she stays there about 3 months, which means she stays until around the time of the birth of John. At this point, she's only just heard the news from Gabriel. You can't see she's pregnant. And Mary certainly didn't, you know, send a text message to say she's coming, didn't she? She didn't pick up the phone. Off she went. What happens when she gets there? Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. She knows about the baby in Mary's womb. Seems to me very unlikely that she's already heard about this. Maybe news travels fast. We don't know for sure. But what we have to notice, verse 41 at the end, is that Elizabeth is speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whether she's heard the news already or not, you can be sure her words here are true. The Holy Spirit is giving her these words. In the verses that follow, both women express their great joy. And they speak of God's amazing blessing. The scholars, the Bible nerds, just debate whether Elizabeth's words are a poem or a song or whether she just speaks. I'm going to call it a song. Certainly both women are rejoicing, aren't they? God is at work, God has spoken, and they're excited, they're filled with joy. Very surprisingly, Neither woman speaks about her own child. It's as if their own joy sort of spills out as they recognize what God is doing, not just in them, but in the other person and in the world. Mary doesn't even say anything explicit about a baby at all in her song. The good news she has received means she has a greater understanding, a greater vision of what God is doing, not just in her, but in everybody else and throughout history and in all the world. So we're going to have a brief look at their two songs. Elizabeth's song is shorter. It serves to strengthen Mary's faith and ours. So first, let's notice the great humility here. The great humility of the much older woman recognizing the superiority of the younger woman's son to be born. Very countercultural in that age, I'm sure. Her own pregnancy is a great miracle, but she is filled with awe at Jesus. And she has a loud voice, verse 42. With that voice, she declares the great blessing that Mary has come to know. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Mary and Elizabeth are both in incredibly privileged positions, aren't they? But she says, Elizabeth says, you are the greater one. Your child is the greatest of all. Verse 43, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Parents love to show off about their children, don't they? Elizabeth could have loads to show off about, even before the child is born. My baby is a great miracle. My baby is going to be the greatest of all the prophets. True. But here's the implication in what she actually says. My child will just prepare the way for your child. John will be an important part in God's plan, but as he grows up, he will know his role is to point away from himself and point to Jesus. He's the one who's truly great. And so Elizabeth's words find their conclusion in verse 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary must have loads of questions, as we thought about last week, but we saw she believed God's word. After all these generations of silence from God, he has spoken now, and he's going to do something new. Because he's spoken, you can know it's going to happen. There is great blessing in believing what God says. Mary comes to Elizabeth, and her faith is strengthened. She sees, yeah, Elizabeth is definitely pregnant. It's true. I really can believe what the angel said. And Elizabeth's words, directed by the Holy Spirit, just add to that. Mary is blessed as she believes the word of God, and so will we be. How do we share her and Elizabeth's joy this Christmas? Make sure you're hearing the word of God. In all the busyness, it's all the more important, isn't it, that we pick up our Bibles and we ask God to give us believing hearts and minds. Ask him to make us joyful as we remember all his promises, finding their yes in the baby who'll be born in Bethlehem. Let's turn to Mary's song, verse 46 onwards. If you grew up in a traditional church, you'll know these words well. They call it the Magnificat, which is just the first word in Latin. It's an extraordinary song when you think it's from the mouth of a young girl. It uses ideas from the Psalms, as I've mentioned earlier, and from Hannah's song in the Old Testament, as we'll see in a moment. Crucially, it looks beyond the amazing thing that God is doing, you know, for Mary right now. It looks beyond what God is doing first century Judea and Galilee. This is about what God is doing in every generation. Mary is rejoicing. She's rejoicing at what God has done and is doing. And as the song goes on, the scope changes. So, first bit, verses 46 to 49, it's about what God has done for me. She's rejoicing at what God has done for me. Verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And Elizabeth spoke about Mary being the mother of my Lord. Now Mary speaks of my Savior. She says, verse 48, he's been mindful of me, mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's saying, I'm an unimportant person from a place nobody's heard of. I have no rights, no status, but Almighty God, He knows me. My Saviour knows me, and He has me in mind. And so still in verse 48, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. I'm a nobody. He is holy. He is the mighty God of all creation, and yet He's blessed me, little old me, in such a way that everyone's going to know my name. It's true, isn't it? We do know her name. God has done amazing things for me. That's what God has done for me. Still in verse 50, she starts to sing about what God has done for all people, rejoicing at what God has done for all people. His mercy, she says, extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation, not just now. Psalm 103 that I started the service with speaks of the great love, great covenant love that God has for those who fear Him. That is, those who have a big idea of who He is, a big vision of the Lord. They know what He's like, and so they know to treat Him with huge respect and awe and wonder. And the Old Testament word for that committed covenant love of the Lord, well, it's often translated into the word in the New Testament that we have here for mercy. He's been merciful and loving to Mary, for sure, but actually He's been that way to so many people throughout the ages in different ways. It is His nature to be like that. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He remembers His mercy. And so Mary sings of the times that God acts in His world to turn things around. He loves to switch things. He is a God of great reversal. He loves to lift up the little people and bring down the greats. Verse 51, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Rulers brought down, the humble lifted up, hungry filled, rich sent away empty. God cares about the people nobody else in society cares about. When rich people oppress poor people, He sees, He cares, and sometimes He acts in this world to turn things on their head. One day He will turn everything upside down, so to speak. This is where Mary is particularly reflecting the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Some of us, if you were here a few months ago, we looked at that song. Do you remember, if you were here or if you know it, Hannah has become a mother after years and years of not being able to conceive, and she's alongside another wife who has a bunch of children, and it's hard. And she prays, and God gives her a child, Samuel. And her son, Samuel, will be Israel's first prophet. She's got a lot in common with Elizabeth. Mary uses her words, though. Hannah sings this song that is about so much more than her child. Like Mary, she rejoices in God's salvation, God working to save. But then Hannah speaks of hungry people and full people switching places, of God sending poverty and wealth and bringing some down to the grave and raising others up. It's all very familiar when we've just read this song of Mary. But then Hannah sings of the King. Hannah sings of God's anointed one, a Messiah kind of word. And some scholars will tell you, well, they can't possibly be Hannah's words because there was no king in those days. Well, we saw when we looked at that song, Hannah is singing sort of prophetically, and she's pointing to David who is coming. She doesn't know that, but the Lord is speaking through her. She's pointing to David who is coming, and then beyond that, she is pointing us to Jesus. He is the one who cares more than anyone about the weak and the downtrodden, the people who have no voice, the people who are abused, the people who seem to have no hope. He cares for each one with that amazing, committed love. He is the one who will criticize the well-to-do religious people and enjoy the company of outcasts and sinners. He is the one who will bring God's salvation to us in His death on the cross, as we'll remember today at communion. back to Mary. What God has done for me, what God has done for his people. And then third, Mary rejoices in what God has done for his people. Did I say that wrong? Mary, what he's done for me, what he's done for all people, now what he's done for his people. In verses 54 and 55 at the end there, she speaks of Israel and Abraham. She speaks of, again, of mercy, covenant love, and of what God has said. These are themes that have come right through the chapter as God's people are surely asking, has God remembered his promises? Has God remembered us? God has gone very quiet. Where is the descendant of Abraham through whom every nation will be blessed? Where is the king in David's line? Where is the Messiah? Well, Mary reminds us, Mary teaches us, he is coming. Yes, God keeps his promises. His word never fails. So back to verse 45, blessed is the one who believes that what the Lord has said will be accomplished, it will be fulfilled. Yes, Mary will have a son, but more than that, in that son, all of God's word will be shown to be true. He will not forget his people. In Jesus, you can know for sure that God is merciful and loving and kind and just and holy and everything else we need him to be. Just come back for a second to how Mary's song starts. Verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. That is what is supposed to happen in us when we hear God's words, when we reflect on his faithfulness in keeping his promises. My soul and my spirit, that's me, that's who I am in my inmost being. In my inmost being, I'm supposed to find joy and wonder in God. My soul glorifies the Lord. Lots of Bibles say my soul magnifies the Lord, and that is a good way to translate the word. What does it mean, magnify the Lord? She doesn't make God bigger, does she? That can't be done. Now, it's like just using a magnifying glass to look at the small print, or better, perhaps, to look at the fine details on some great work of art. It doesn't make the thing bigger, does it? Of course not. But it becomes bigger to me when I magnify what I'm looking at. I can take more of it in. I can admire how great it is. My soul magnifies the Lord. How can I magnify him in my heart and in my mind? The answer is to do what Mary and Elizabeth do. They make themselves small and they make God very big. They reflect on what he has done and what they trust he's going to do. When we meditate on God's goodness, when we remind ourselves daily of what he says, then he is magnified in us. That's what he wants to do. That's what is so good for us to do. Right at the end of the book of Luke, when the risen Jesus meets those two people on the road to Emmaus and he shows them how all the Bible is about him, they say afterwards, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Let's pray that that would be true of us more and more. We open the Bible. We see the goodness and the glory and the faithfulness of God, and our hearts burn within us as we are filled with joy. Wouldn't that be great if that was true of us through December, through the Christmas season? Wouldn't it be great if that was true of us all the time? We, of course, have heard so much more than Elizabeth and Mary had. We have heard what Jesus said, how he lived, crucially, how he died and rose again for us. We've heard, as the children are thinking about today, that he came to seek and to save the lost. That's us. What greater joy then can there be than that? My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we confess that too often we grow cold towards this most wonderful story of how you have acted in this world to bring us salvation, to bring us peace, to bring us to know you, the Almighty Living God. And so we pray this morning that you would work in us so that we would respond to your word as Elizabeth does and as Mary does, that we would say with Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Please bring us back to you, bring us back to the Bible so that we see how you have spoken, we examine those words, and then we're filled with joy at who you are. Please be magnified in our hearts and our minds so that we know you better, so that we're filled with joy, so that we bring you the glory you deserve, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond to